and a good Friday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook. Don't forget that you can take the show with you 24/7 on demand by checking out the Nick Craig Show podcast in your favorite podcast app. You can also listen online by visiting the website, nickcraig.com. Our show this morning is brought to you in part by The Law Group. You can visit them online at lawgroupnc.com or give them a call at 910-251-6088. We'll have more from them coming up a little bit later on in the program this morning. Well, President Donald Trump, back a couple of weeks ago, ticked off the left. No real surprise there. The guy, wakes up in the morning and opens his eyes, and that in itself is enough to completely frustrate the left beyond any pale of belief or resemblance, anything of normalcy, when he decided to send the National Guard into the District of Columbia using his authority, which he has, over D.C. in Washington, which is not a state, it is the District of Columbia, using his authority to send in the National Guard and clean up crime. And while many folks on the left find this to be frustrating, I've got an interesting article that we'll get into this morning over at the Washington Post. One of the major reasons that Donald Trump won in November was crime. I mean, there's a kind of a laundry basket of issues that I think propelled Donald Trump to success, and Republicans to a greater extent, success in the November elections last year. One of those major issues was crime. And when you look at what has gone on, when you look at the situation that has unfolded in major metropolitan cities across the United States over the last couple of years, a lot of it kicking off during the Summer of Love in 2020, when Black Lives Matter and Antifa were roaming U.S. streets, burning cities to the ground, throwing bricks and frozen water bottles and shooting fireworks at law enforcement, looting all in the name of racial justice. And since then, there has been a huge push in this country by middle-of-the-road Americans, individuals that I'll note that are probably not necessarily ideologically aligned with President Donald Trump, but individuals that understand that when you have safety, when you have security, when you have law and order that works, the communities, the city, the town, the neighborhood that you live in becomes a better place to live and a better place to be. And it's not overly complicated. It should not come as a surprise to anybody that when law enforcement is able to do their job, when law enforcement enforces what is on the books, crime goes down. When repeat offenders are not consistently dropped off in the exact same location due to ridiculously stupid no bail laws and no bail policies in many of these cities, when that stops, crime goes down. You do not have to have spent any time in law enforcement. You don't have to be a lawyer. You don't have to be anywhere associated with law or crime to understand what the correlation is between the two things. It is not overly complicated, folks. And so I think when you look at what has gone on over the last couple of years, and you look at the success that Trump had in November, you look at the success that Republicans had, it's for reasons like that. Regular, everyday, normal, non-political, which is the key word here, non-political people want to live in a safe community. They do not want to have to worry that when they go to bed at night, that their house is going to be broken into. They don't want to have to worry when they're walking downtown or they're going to their job or they're hanging out on the weekends that they are going to be the victim of crime. That creates a situation that is completely unsustainable long term. We talked to Seth Woodall about that yesterday morning. If you missed our Thursday show, we were joined by attorney Seth Woodall and talked exactly about this issue. We may play a little bit of his comments coming up here in a little bit. But looking at that, looking at the regular, everyday, normal, non-political people, they found themselves very frustrated with what they were seeing. They found themselves very frustrated that their communities in which they are taxpayers and they are working and they have their kids in school, they are useful members of their society, their community. They found it very frustrating that their places that they live, they play, they eat, they shop, they do whatever, were no longer safe. And that's exactly what has gone on in the District of Columbia and many other major Democrat strongholds that exist throughout the country. couple of here in North Carolina as well. You can look at Asheville. You can look at Raleigh. You can look at Charlotte-Mecklenburg. I mean, similar situations, maybe not to the extent and to the level of Washington, D.C., but it's not too far before you are in the exact same situation. These attempts, another 80-20 issue that Democrats are on the wrong side of, law and order, law enforcement, crime in communities, another 80-20 issue that the Democrats completely misplayed. And so the president did, well, exactly what he's got the authority to do. Weak Democrats, weak mayor, weak police chief, weak city council in the District of Columbia, with their unwillingness to deal with the problem at hand, a strong leader does what exactly with what you would expect. Takes decisive action. So he deployed the National Guard back a couple of weeks ago, and since then, things have gotten better. Since then, since last week when the National Guard was deployed, there's not been a single murder within the District of Columbia. And as of this morning, there's been over 600 arrests. So yesterday afternoon, Donald Trump did exactly what you would expect him to do. He met with the folks that are on the front lines, met with the individuals that are responsible for making the District of Columbia our nation's capital, not just some random ass city throughout the U.S., but our nation's capital, a significantly safer place. So he did a ride along with D.C. police. He gave them some food, talked to the media. And this is how it unfolded yesterday in the district. Here's Donald Trump.
Building, it's cleaning and fixing and redoing and putting brand new surfaces down on your roads and streets. And when people come in from the airport all the way to the Capitol or the White House or any place else they go, and they're going to say, boy, this place is spotless. So we're doing that. Most importantly, though, we're going to have a crowd of people that are going to be happy. You know, I've received more phone calls from people in the last 4 days than I ever have. I've been here now 4 years plus. And by the way, I think we had about the best 7 months, they're saying, that any president's had. We've done a lot of work. We've done a lot of good work, including the biggest tax cuts that you've ever had. I know you guys don't care about taxes, so you don't care about saving a little tax, but you saved a lot of tax, actually. But we've had a great, great period of time. But I've never received so many phone calls thanking me for what we've done in Washington, D.C., from people that haven't gone to a restaurant in 4 years. And they said, you know, what you've done is it's unprecedented, because what they said, it was just unsafe. We couldn't do it. We'd go out and you'd see the stories. You'd read the stories. You'd see all of the things that are happening. And they said, we couldn't stand it, sir. And now I take my wife and my kids to dinner. One of them said he's gone out 4 nights in a row, and he hadn't gone out for 4 years. So it's a great tribute to you. And when I look at you people, I understand why, because there's no games, right? We're not playing games. We're going to make it safe. And we're going to then go on to other places. But we're going to stay here for a while. We want to make this absolutely perfect. It's our capital. And I guess it used to be many years ago, say, but it's certainly not had a very good run. And you got to be strong. You got to be tough. You got to do your job. Whatever it takes to do your job, you got to do your job. But the crime numbers are way down. I'm looking at, you saw some of the stats. They just read them out to me inside, the numbers that we haven't seen here ever, actually ever. And I think it's probably right now, it's to me, I feel very safe now, and I'm hearing people are very safe, but I know within 2 weeks, it's going to be, Pam, it's going to be at a level that's even far superior. So
I'm going to stop the president there for a second. And obviously, if you are somebody that has disdain and hatred for Donald Trump, anything and everything he does, you're going to disagree with. That's fine. Let's assume for a second that you can pull yourself out of your Trump derangement syndrome for just a couple of minutes and just listen to it. Just hear me out on this. Yes, you hate Trump. Yes, you believe he's terrible. Yes, you believe everything he does is awful. Okay, fine. Are you inherently opposed to the idea of making a community more safe? Because really, remove the man from the equation, Remove Donald Trump, who, by the way, is not overseeing this operation. It's Attorney General Pam Bondi. Yes, he kicked it into motion with his executive action. Yes, he used the authority that is bestowed upon him in the Constitution, in this law across the District of Columbia to do what he did. But inherently, let's remove the man and discuss the issue and the matter at hand, which is, do you want the place that you live to be unsafe? Do you want your city, your community, your town to be unsafe? I am going to step out on a limb this morning and say that, like, for 99% of people, that is something that they are in favor of. They want to live in a safe place. They want to spend time in a safe community. They want to work in a safe place. You don't have to go that far back in time. For those that have been with me for a couple of years, when I was back on the radio here in Wilmington, we check in on San Francisco, I don't know, every month or so, maybe every couple of weeks. And one of the things that we continually talked about, and one of the things that I consistently saw in reporting from San Francisco, was the reason that so many businesses were leaving the true downtown core center of San Francisco was not necessarily because the violence and the lawlessness was getting into their businesses. Yes, there was some of that. But more importantly, they couldn't find anybody to work. Nobody for, well, I don't know what the minimum wage is in California. It's probably like $700 an hour. But whatever it is, the minimum wage that they're paying people to work at clothing stores, at CVS, at Walgreens, at a variety of these places that exist in a city center, which is exactly what you would expect, they couldn't find anybody to work. And it makes sense. Getting out of San Francisco, but just looking at any minimum wage entry-level job, especially when you're looking at retail, are you going to put up with the kind of nonsense that exists in a city like San Francisco, making $8.50 or $9 an hour? Are you going to put up with being chased down the street by guys with heroin needles in their arms, walking, and in this case, running to your job for $9 an hour? Does that sound like something that most people are willing to do? The answer to that question, folks, is very simply, no, it's not. So not only were there problems in San Francisco, but many of the stores, and we talked about the retail vacancy rate in that city, it was atrociously high. There was nobody to work. Nobody in their right mind wanted to take public transportation to a tram station in San Francisco. You get off the train, and it looks like you've walked into a zombie apocalypse movie. You've got a bunch of guys and people with heroin needles in their arms, zonked out of their minds, high on heroin, moaning and groaning and walking like zombies throughout the streets of San Francisco. You're going to do that for $9 an hour? Not a chance in hell. So what ends up being the result of not having employees? Well, you can't sustain your business. If it's a retail business, which is many of the places that we've seen close in a city like San Francisco, you have to shutter. You have to move somewhere else. If you don't have people working at your store, you can't operate your business. It's a very simple correlation there. It's not overly complicated. And so one of the reasons that crime is such a big issue in a community is that nobody wants to visit. So now you don't have any people that are shopping at your establishments. Nobody wants to work, so you don't have any employees. You add those two things together, you're out of business. It is a completely unsustainable model long term. I mean, yeah, you might be able to coast on for a small period of time, but for any grand stretch, it's completely unsustainable. It's completely impractical to operate a business without patrons and without employees. Again, maybe a little while you can skirt along, but not all that long. And so that's what you've seen in places like San Francisco. That's what you've seen in other Democrat blue strongholds throughout the United States. And I mean, even here in our community, you go back 20 years and look at downtown Wilmington, it was a rough spot. There was not a lot of business going on in downtown Wilmington. That's why groups like WDI over the last 10, 15, 20 years have worked to revitalize downtown Wilmington. There were not a lot of businesses open. It was an unsafe place to be, and everybody was evacuating the city. I mean, we see this and we have examples of this all throughout our country. When a place is unsafe, you can't have patrons and you can't have businesses. They just do not exist. And a preview Monday show coming up for you. Earlier this week, the Wilmington City Council had about a 2.5-hour meeting about the homeless crisis that is continuing to exist throughout our city. It was a very eye-opening meeting. We'll dive into those details. I've got a bunch of audio and video clips for that. We'll dive into all of that coming up. The plan is Monday morning, of course. Major news could break over the weekend and delay that, but that is the plan right now for Monday morning. And all of this revolves around the concept that this stuff is not sustainable long-term. You cannot have a vibrant city or town or community on the rise if crime is out of control. So again, remove Donald Trump from the equation. Is this a good thing or is this a bad thing that a community, that city streets are being cleaned up? I am going to say that I think the vast majority, 99% of people, would say it is a good thing to clean up a city, clean up a community, and make it a safer place to be. I don't think that's all that dramatic of a statement to make. Here's more from President Donald Trump yesterday.
I just wanted to thank you all. You're doing incredible. You're incredible people. You make the country run, frankly. You make the whole place run. We're going to have the best capital ever. We're going to have it's going to look better than it ever did. Even at the White House, I'm building a ballroom. They've been after a ballroom for 150 years, but they never had a real estate guy as a president. You know, I've done a lot of ballrooms, and we're going to make this one the best of them all. But we're doing a real job. As far as the country's concerned, we're respected again. We had a country that was laughed at a year ago. They thought they couldn't understand what was happening. And it's about leadership. But we had a country that was a dead country in many ways. Went to Saudi Arabia, I went to Qatar, I went to UAE. We came back with $5.1 trillion of investment in this country. And we're over $17 trillion. Now, a lot of you don't know what that means. And nobody knows what it means because it's never happened before. In 5 months, because really it's a 5-month, even though we're here 7, but we started 5 months ago in terms of investment. And we have, because they see what's happened to our country, we're going to be over $17 trillion with a T, dollars of investment. There's never been anything close. If we did $1 trillion in a year, and we're talking about over a 5-month period, maybe 6 months if you look at it, but over $17 trillion, we're building plants, auto plants, AI plants, all sorts of plants all over the country. I'm giving them the right. Lee Zeldin's done a fantastic job. We're given the right to build electric plants. They become almost like a public utility because we have old grids. We have a lot of stuff that's old. We wouldn't be able to compete with China AI. And now we're totally leading the AI race and the artificial intelligence. It's a big deal. And it's the hottest thing there is for probably in 35, 40 years. It's a lot of people don't know what it is. Just trust me, it's very hot. It's big. But they need massive amounts of electricity. They need more electricity than we have right now in the whole country servicing everything. In other words, we have to at least double it up to be competitive and to be leading. And we're more than doubling it up. And what I'm doing is I'm letting all of these very rich companies, and they've got nothing but they got a lot of money, and they want to invest it in the United States. And they're building big plants, but they're building electric plants with it. I said, you build your building. And these are buildings that cost $30, $40, $50 billion when you include everything that's inside, all the technology. I said, I'm going to let you build electric plants to fire your own electricity. And anything that you have left over, you sell it back into the grid. So all of these big factories that are being built are building their own electric plants fired by oil and gas. They're not fired by wind, by the way, because wind doesn't work, but we won't say that. It destroys everything. It looks terrible. It's a very expensive form of energy, and we're not doing wind. We're going back to fossil fuel. I hope not too many of you people are going to be upset, but we have to go back to what works. We can't be foolish. But we're building massive electric plants all over the country. The companies are building, and then they sell it back into the grid. But we're building numbers that nobody's ever seen. We're auto plants. We have many auto plants going up, whereas during the last 4 years, as you know, we had like none. People weren't investing here. So where they weren't investing and they were leaving, but I just finished by saying this. So I was with the King of Saudi Arabia. I was with all of the NATO leaders a couple of weeks ago, and they are putting up not 2%, but 5%. They said 5% of GDP. That's a lot of money. They'll have trillions of dollars put up. They were putting up 2, but they weren't paying it. Now they're putting up 5, and they're all paying it. And they all said the same thing. They said, 1 year ago, your country was dead. We never thought it was coming back. And now you have the hottest country anywhere in the world. These are the leaders of other countries, the prime ministers and the presidents, all, every one of them said essentially the same thing, said we had a dead country, and we were. We felt that way, and we were. And this place was emblematic of it with the crime, the horrible crime. And, you know, I watch these phony reports. Oh, we were on the way back. They weren't on the way back. They were. It was worse than ever just a short while ago. But now it's going to be, I think now, right now, it's better than it has been in years. And in a couple of weeks, it's going to be even far better than that. And everybody's safe now. Everybody feels safe. And they're all coming in. And people are now coming in. They're making reservations to come in. They want to be in Washington, D.C. One of the things we're going to be redoing is your parks. I'm very good at grass because I have a lot of golf courses all over the place. I know more about grass than any human being, I think, anywhere in the world. And we're going to be regrassing all of your parks, all brand new sprinkler systems, the best that you can buy, just like Augusta. No, it'll look like Augusta. It'll look like, more importantly, Trump National Golf Club. That's even better. But we're going to have all brand new, beautiful grass. You know, like everything else, grass has a life. Do you know that? Grass has a life. You know, we have a life and grass has a life. And the grass here died about 40 years ago. So we're going to be rebuilding all of your parks, and it's going to happen fast. It's going to go up like a miracle. So you do the job on safety, and I'll get this place fixed up physically, and we're going to be so proud of it. At the end of 6 months, but let's say at the end of a year, this place will be maxed out in terms of beauty. You'll have all new surfaces. You'll have all new medians. Everything's going to look beautiful. A lot of your signs are going to be taken down. They've been up for 40 years. They look like hell. They look like they're barely standing up. They're falling off the off their holders, and we're going to have all new everything. And I want to just thank Doug for doing such an incredible job. You've been unbelievable. You're a popular guy. No, he's an amazing guy. He's an amazing guy. Everybody love him. We love you. And his wife is so incredible. But thank you very much. I appreciate it. And Pam, thank you very much. What a job. She's, people don't realize, they're going to see, she'll go down as the greatest Attorney General we've had. I really mean it, too. And where's my Christy? You dear. Thank you very much. She's been incredible. And she can ride a horse like nobody. She gets on those horses. She rips those horses around. But I want to thank you very much. And Steve Miller, so fantastic. And Todd Blanche, who's been with me so long, and he's one of the best lawyers you'll ever find. And we're having a lot of victories. I had a victory today.
So there's just a little bit of the president's commentary in the District of Columbia yesterday, talking about, you know, obviously starting with crime and then going into some of the successes that America is having and continues to have, talking about, you know, bringing America back, revitalizing America. And this was it's kind of funny, this clip I saw yesterday, or this tweet I saw yesterday from the great Wolf Blitzer of CNN. Everybody's familiar with old Wolf Blitzer. And he posted this on his X account, thinking like he was going to, I guess, you know, own the Republicans. He posted this, quote, "This is what I saw when I drove by Washington, D.C.'s Union Station this morning." And what it is it appears to be, it's some sort of National Guard or military truck with a couple of soldiers wearing camo standing next to it. And so he posts this picture as, you know, oh, this is the out of control law enforcement that is existing in the District of Columbia, right? This is the completely unattainable policy of President Donald Trump. And one of the replies to his post, which I thought was just fantastic, talking about Union Station, was this response. An individual by the name of Alec Lace posted this, saying, "Well, I guess you'd rather prefer Union Station to look like this." And it's Union Station with some snow on the ground, so obviously in the winter months, with tents just all over the place, garbage just laying on the ground, trash. This is what D.C. has looked like. This is exactly what it looks like. It's a dump. Why in the hell would you want to go to a city that looks like this? And why is it that Democrats are pushing so hard against this? Like, this is what you guys want? You want ripped up tents, garbage and debris laying throughout your city parks? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. That's what's going on. And that picture was taken on January 6th of 2022, right? This is not a picture from 30 years ago. This is just a couple of years ago. And this is what has been taking place in the District of Columbia. Again, why? Because the mayor, the police chief, the city council, they're not interested in making it a sustainable place to live or to be. They would rather be soft on crime so that they can get applause from their liberal coalition of individuals, then they'd rather get that than making sure that a city in which they're entrusted with as a mayor or a city council, whatever, they're entrusted with it. There's only a couple of elected people that make decisions for tens, if not hundreds of thousands. That's how elections work. That's why local elections, including some coming up later on this year across our area, are so incredibly important. Because when those leaders decide that they're not going to deal with a problem, when those leaders decide that it is more politically expedient to side with radical ideologues and allow a city to fall into despair, the end result is disastrous for everyone involved. And fortunately, I believe that in most of these places, we have maybe caught this before it's gone too far downhill. There is a possibility, there is an availability to recover the solution. Now, some places are probably a lost cause. Many places out on the left coast, probably a lost cause there. But for many other cities that have begun this trek, it lags a little bit. There is still time to turn. There is time to make a change before it gets so bad that you have to do something incredibly radical, like sending in the National Guard to make the change. Right, the crime in D.C. is so bad and the leadership is so weak that the president does, in fact, have to take a pretty extensive measure, which, again, he has the authority to do, which is send in the National Guard. Right, that's how this process plays out. So I caught this interesting post over at the This is over at the Washington Post. This ran yesterday at the Washington Post, and I just wanted to read through a little bit of it as we continue the discussion this morning. It reads, Washington, D.C. residents overwhelmingly oppose President Donald Trump's decision last week to take over the D.C. police and order federal law enforcement and the National Guard onto the district streets. And 65% don't think his actions will make the city safer from violent crime, according to a Washington Post Schuyler School poll. 31% of the district's residents say that crime is either an extremely or very serious problem within the city. So, wait, you've got 30%+ of people that say it's a very serious problem, but they don't want the president to find a solution to it? I mean, reading directly from the article, the vast majority of residents throughout the district don't want Trump controlling law enforcement efforts in the city. About 8 in 10 D.C. residents oppose Trump's executive order to federalize law enforcement in the city, with 7 in 10 strongly opposing it. And so this is the chart that is in the Wall Street Journal article showing the adamant disapproval of the president doing his job. But it's interesting to note, when you look at these numbers, you'd say, wow, this is a pretty lopsided poll. But you've got to remember that 90%+ of people that live, these are residents of Washington, D.C., 90%+ of them are Democrats. And so I'm going to take a different angle on this than the Washington Post lays out here in their article. So here was the question they asked. Do you support or oppose Trump ordering the federal government to take control of Washington, D.C.'s police department and ordering the National Guard and FBI to patrol D.C.? And so 604 D.C. residents polled in this survey, 9% strongly support, while 8% somewhat support. And you might look at that and say, well, that's a pretty low number. And doing some quick math, 9+8, all right, you're at 17%. which is obviously not the majority in this poll. 69% strongly oppose it. But let me throw this at you. With the political makeup of those in the District of Columbia, 17% of registered people are not Republicans. It is overwhelming. 90%+ of the district's residents are bleeding heart liberal Democrat progressives. Over 90%. So when 17% either strongly support or somewhat support the actions that the president is taking, that is a win. Because you are looking at a survey, you are looking at a sample of people that could not be any further to the left. And so when 17% of them say, well, we either strongly or somewhat support these measures, those are Democrats, at least some in that poll, some in that survey, based on the voting makeup and the political ideology of those within the District of Columbia. This is a massive win. Now, it, again, doesn't look like it when you look at the numbers. If D.C. was split 50% Democrat, 50% Republicans, or somewhere close to that, this would be an atrocious survey. But it's not. It is so overwhelmingly controlled by those on the political left that I see this as a massive win. And so I'll see if I can pull up the numbers here just to... look at this to back this up. Yeah, Kamala Harris. This is the 2024 election. Kamala Harris received 90.28% of the vote in the District of Columbia, D.C. proper, while Donald Trump only received 6.47%. He couldn't even crack 6.5% in D.C. He received 5% of the vote in 2020 and just 4% of the vote in 2016. Democrats going all the way back to 2004 have received 90%+ of the vote in the District of Columbia. So knowing that, when I see 17% are supporting the actions of the president, that is going to show you that even those within the Democrat Party understand that this stuff is not sustainable. Those that would vote for somebody like Kamala Harris, vote for a Joe Biden or a Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton, they, some of them, not a vast majority, but some of them are saying, we understand that this doesn't work. We understand that this is not sustainable in the long term. Residents of the district where Trump won just 6% of the vote in the 2024 election disagree with the president's many characterizations of the city as overrun by crime. Earlier this week, Trump said that Washington had been one of the most unsafe places anywhere. However, 78% of residents say that they feel very or somewhat safe in their own neighborhoods. This is similar to 76% that had the same response in May, but the percentage who feel very safe is up from 26% to now 39%. And there's no way that you can look at this any other way than now Democrats in the district are saying, oh, actually, it's pretty safe. Oh, actually, no, we don't have those issues at all. According to the dean of George Mason University's School of Policy and Government that did this post, did this survey with the Washington Post, writes, quote, Trump's overheated rhetoric about D.C. crime has invoked strong feelings among many residents offended by such characterizations of the city. A federalized takeover of any aspect of the city's operations will naturally create a backlash, and that is clearly happening here. Residents are saying it's not as bad as the president claims, and they want to reclaim the image of their city against the president's narrative that is tarnishing DC's reputation. Don't you love that? So Donald Trump is the one tarnishing DC's reputation. It wasn't the more than 1,000 carjackings that happened in the city 2 years ago. It's not the rampant amount of murder that is taking place in D.C. That's not tarnishing the reputation at all. It's, of course, once again, the evil, awful, terrible Donald Trump. All his fault. You've got swarms of youth gang violence in the District of Columbia, carjacking people, robbing people's homes. That has no effect on D.C.'s reputation. It's the rhetoric from Donald Trump. always with the left. Always. No ability to look at the issue at hand. No ability to look at the problems that they have created themselves with their own terrible policies. They always have to deflect it onto somebody else. I mean, it's absurd. This is a direct quote from the Dean of George Mason's University's School of Policy and Government. A direct quote. Residents are saying it is not as bad as the president's claims, and they want to reclaim the image of their city against a presidential narrative that is tarnishing DC's reputation. It is being stated as a fact that is tarnishing DC's reputation. No surprise there at all. In response to, looking at some more details into the poll, of course, those in the District of Columbia do want to be a separate state. No surprise there. They want to be a state so that Democrats can get more votes in the United States Senate and the U.S. House. No real surprise there at all. And so here's some other interesting questions and some other interesting things in here. Here was a question. How much do you personally worry about being a victim of blank in your day-to-day life? A lot, somewhat, not very much, or not at all? And so this response here is an open-ended question with a couple of responses. Theft in a public place, carjacking, physical assault, or home burglary. These numbers are incredibly high. Even down from highs where they were last year, 43% of people worry about having something stolen from them or being the victim of theft in a public place. 39% are fearful of carjackings. Physical assault, 36%. Even though that these numbers are, yes, in fact, down from 2024, how can you see this as anything that is good? 40% of people are worried that their car is going to be stolen? Where else does that exist outside of major Democrat cities? Folks, there's a lot that I worry about in my day-to-day life. I can honest to God tell you that I have never, at least since I've been here in Wilmington, which has been 9 years, there has not been a single point in time that I have lived in southeastern North Carolina that I have ever been concerned about somebody stealing my car. It has never even crossed my mind. But 40%, almost 40% of those in the District of Columbia have that fear. But don't worry. It's Donald Trump that is tarnishing the reputation of the great city in the District of Columbia, right? It's not that last year, 53% of people were worried about their car. You had more than half of the residents of the District of Columbia being worried that their car was literally going to be stolen. But have no fear. It's Donald Trump's harsh rhetoric that is causing this problem. 53% of people last year were concerned about theft in a public place. 49% were concerned about carjacking. One in two people concerned that their car was going to be stolen. But again, don't look into those numbers. Don't read anything into that. It's Donald Trump's rhetoric. Violent crime in D.C. has been declining since 2023, part of a nationwide drop over the past 2 years that in 2024 brought homicide rates to their lowest levels. For Courtney Preby, who is white and has lived in Northwest Washington for 3 years, Trump's decision to take over law enforcement in the district has made her more fearful and not less. She said, quote, "It's honestly striking more fear into residents than making them feel safe," the 29-year-old told the Washington Post. "It feels like a show of force to distract from other things." Over half of D.C.'s residents, 55%, say they've noticed more federal law enforcement officers in D.C. since Trump issued his order. Among those who have noticed more federal agents, 61% say this made them feel less safe, while 18% feel safer, and 20% say it hasn't made any difference. Wow. Imagine being so far to the left. Imagine being so screwed up in your political ideology that you think having more law enforcement and more federal agents on the street makes your life less safe. Now, if you were a criminal and you are somebody that is committing crimes, I could understand you feeling unsafe that there are more law enforcement on the streets. If you are somebody that is causing some of these problems, I guess I can understand that portion and that aspect of it. But if you're a law-abiding citizen in the District of Columbia and you feel more unsafe by police being on the streets, you are in fact mentally ill. There's no other way around this. This is Trump derangement syndrome in a very real form. I mean, these numbers back this up. The only reason that these people feel unsafe is not because there's more police, not because there's National Guard, not because there's other federal law enforcement. They feel unsafe because Donald Trump is the one that directed this to take place. That is the core reason why they feel unsafe. But once again, 18% of people say that this makes them feel safer. And again, you look at the numbers, Donald Trump was unable to even crack 6.5% in his election victory in 2024. He is doubling the number of votes that he got for president compared to people that feel safer with more law enforcement. Once again, another win in this story. Specific steps have been taken by the administration are also unpopular with people living in the city. About 7 in 10 residents say that D.C. police should not help with federal deportation efforts. Again, no surprise there at all. Democrats are weak on crime, so on and so forth. Here's another interesting thing out of this survey. Here's the question. Do you support or oppose the city shutting down homeless tent encampments and requiring people to move elsewhere? 64% say they oppose that. No surprise. But 25% support it. 1 in 4 people in the District of Columbia support shutting down those homeless encampments, those homeless camps that exist. Again, 90%+ of voters in D.C. are progressive Democrats. Yet 25% of them support getting rid of these tent cities, these homeless encampments that have plagued so many places throughout major Democrat cities. And I just might argue cities in general throughout the District of Columbia. And so there's a lot more in this study. There's a lot more in this poll from the Washington Post. As you would imagine and as you would expect, they use these low numbers to try and paint that the Trump policies are failures. There's nothing in this article, at least, you know, I didn't read through the entire thing. I skimmed through the entirety of it. There's nothing in here that says that 90% of the voters. Now there's that one line that Trump, you know, cracked 6% of the vote, so on and so forth. But there's nothing that breaks down the actual voting habits and the political ideology of those in the District of Columbia, which is an incredibly important part of the puzzle when you're looking at data, you're looking at these numbers, and you're trying to determine what these numbers mean. I mean, if you ask 10 Democrats if they like Donald Trump, and 10 of them say no, and you say, well, Trump has a 0% approval rating, you might scratch your head and say, okay, well, who was surveyed in that? Oh, it was 10 radical progressive liberals? No surprise. I might argue that is an inaccurate representation when you're asking people that have it built in that they are going to hate and despise everything that the president does, right? That's an important piece of the equation here. And no surprise, the Washington Post didn't really dive too much into it. Little mention here or there, but they could have absolutely broken down those numbers a little bit further if they were interested in doing so. However, they did not. And you know, the other interesting thing that came out of this poll was the D.C. mayor's job approval is now is at 53% approved, 41% disapprove. And you might say, wow, with all those Democrats, the reason why is that 48% of voters say that the mayor and Mayor Muriel Bowser needs to do more to oppose Trump. So again, it's got nothing to do whether she's doing a good job or not. It is all around Donald Trump. Every single question, every single response, every single data point in this survey revolves around one thing. Do you like Donald Trump or not? Plain and simple. So I'll throw a link to this over in our show notes. That's over at patreon.com/NickCraig, where you can get daily show notes and more coming up next Wednesday. That notice will be going out today. Next Wednesday night, we will be doing our monthly Patreon hangout for those that are supporters of the Nick Craig Show. $5-$10 a month. You can jump in on that. We'll talk about all of the issues of the day and the week. Who knows what we'll be dealing with next week. That'll be coming up next Wednesday night. Patreon.com/Nick Craig if you are interested in supporting the show. I'll also have this story linked over on our Patreon for the show notes for today's episode. Before we get out of here this morning, I do want to thank our great sponsors and supporters, including The Law Group. And I want to let you know that, God forbid legal challenges arise, make sure you put your trust in The Law Group. For over 20 years, their experienced attorneys have provided high-quality, affordable legal services across the eastern half of our state. Whether you're facing a divorce, navigating real estate transactions, or maybe you're in a position where you need a strong defense, The Law Group has your back. Their dedicated team ensures your questions are answered and issues are resolved as quickly as possible. Great news, folks. They're located in downtown Wilmington and just a phone call away at 910-251-6088. Or you can visit their great website over at lawgroupnc.com. Give them a call, 910-251-6088, or their website, lawgroupnc.com, where you can look in all of their areas of practices. You can meet their attorneys, and they've got a great blog over at the Law Group website that discusses a variety of legal challenges and issues. All of that available over at lawgroupnc.com. We thank them and appreciate them for their continued support of the Nick Craig Show. Well, that is going to do it for a Friday edition. Coming up on Monday, we'll dive into the discussion of homelessness and crime within the city of Wilmington. Thanks for spending this week with us. We're back with you Monday morning, 7 a.m. YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, and wherever you get your podcasts for The Nick Craig Show. Have a great weekend.